Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah. Welcome, guys. This is episode 3 of Caffeinated Connections, and we are talking to a new person in the media field. If you'd love to introduce yourself, go right ahead.
Hey, I am Colin. I own a production company in Alaska called Every Mile Creative, and we create epic cinematic ads for companies in all kinds of spaces, but always leveraging our like amazing landscapes in Alaska. So that's what I do. It's my wife and I run this business and having a blast with it.
Yeah. So what's a recent project you have been able to work on?
I've done a lot of really cool stuff lately. One that was super fun was a shoot for Dude Wipes, actually. So they saw some of our work and said, hey, we've got this mint chill flavor. Could we like fly a toilet out to an ice cave? So we were like, yeah, we can absolutely do that. So we put a toilet on a helicopter and took it out to an ice cave and did this like commercial shoot and product imagery and all this type of stuff for them. And I think that'll be going live pretty soon. So we're stoked about that, having fun with it.
How do you get these opportunities? Like, as someone that I'm just now graduating college in photography, how do you get to that level, that point where, you know, you're working with bigger companies? Does it, I mean, obviously this wasn't just a handout to you. You have to develop these connections and these relationships. How do you do that?
Yeah. So, I have been kind of in the creative world for about 10 years now. I started coming out of college. I got a job at an agency. So it's always going to come back to connections with people and doing really great work. But I was at an agency and it was really good. I was in the Dallas area and they are like still doing awesome work and growing and all of that. But I really felt like kind of like having a job wasn't for me. So I was freelancing on the side and doing like photo video work around and was able to like match my income there. And so I left that job really without a safety net or anything like that. But I just like kind of took a bet on myself and said, this is what I want to do. And continued to contract with them and kind of like in my network, just have a referral business in the photo video space. And my wife was a nurse at that time. And we were like, hey, you know, I can do this type of work remotely. I'm getting, you know, more. It's very boring type of stuff, but, you know, like tech videos and stuff like that. So why don't like, you travel nurse and we'll do this. And so she did. She took her contract. We went out to California and then to Utah. But in the while we were at that, we started transitioning kind of the content creation side of things to the outdoor world. And so it was like a combination of craftiness and timing and good work. We started doing a lot of photography kind of in really cool places when we would go and hike and explore and whatever, but also like building connections. So I literally like just went and found emails, which everyone has done now. It's become very saturated. And then ChatGPT releases a new image model yesterday that pretty much annihilates. We transitioned out of that, but I think there's less of a market for that now. But at the time it worked really, really well to go and say, hey, we're going to do like content creation from our travels in these really, really cool places and built those relationships. So that was huge. And then, you know, where we connected, LinkedIn has been tremendously powerful. So now we're running a, you know, a full service production company in Alaska. I've had these connections. I've done really cool work over the years, but like the biggest thing that's working for us is like we're having fun with it. So I spend a lot of time just thinking about how do I inspire people? How do I make people laugh? How do I make people cry? And then I'm like always just, you know, trying to build relationships and connect and network out and all that. So maybe that's a little bit vague, but I would say if you're coming out of college right now, some of the, you know, best things you can do for yourself are do fantastic work, begin to build a brand for yourself, and don't just talk about what you're doing. Talk about why you're doing it and what you're passionate about and these types of things. And, you know, create a network on LinkedIn, and you know, begin to build. And even if it's not huge stuff, these brands are always looking for unique ideas and creators and UGC content and a million different things. So there's ways to connect with people in the creative space.
And like, do you have a degree in this?
Nope. I guess my degree was like in digital marketing and communication. I personally think college is completely useless. I spent $80,000 to meet my wife, basically.
Well,
I can like
nice.
what we're doing right here is like the most valuable thing you can do for yourself. Like the things that I have learned that are tremendously valuable have come from what I read and from podcasts that I listen to and the calls that I take and stuff like that. There's just like so much you can learn. So I think if you're in STEM, if you want to, or in education, you know, you're going into a field that is, if I say very like mission or purpose, very, very technical, that, you know, requires training and certification and stuff like that, then college might be the route for you. But, there's a million different, you know, business opportunities, a million different businesses. There's a million different billionaires out there and millionaires. Not that that's a rank of success or the quality of a person by any means. But college isn't necessarily, I think, directly correlated to success, in that world. So no, like the biggest thing that I did was go, okay, here's where I want to go. And I go and find the people who are accomplishing it ahead of me. And I call them and I ask for advice, or I listen to stories about them, or try to watch what they're doing. So yeah, that's my answer to that. So I have a degree, but it hasn't, it's not related necessarily to what I'm doing now.
So would you say that the ability to do it is far more important than what you learn? I mean, don't get me wrong, there's obviously the technical aspect of shooting and all that and the lighting, but I think that, I mean, personally, I believe that it is what you do and how you do it versus, and well, obviously a why you do it, than it is about what you learn in the classes, because I'm more kinesthetic. I have to go out and do and be a part of it.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right on the dot. It's what you do in it, and it's how you do it. And it's the integrity that you do it with. It's the energy that you bring to your work, the creativity to it, and the personality. So there's a lot of technical aspects to what we do, but there's also a lot of technical things that, I don't know. It's hard. I push myself. It's something I talk about a lot because I like to talk more about the business side of what I do than the creative side of what I do. But because I'm trying to do really, really high-end content, I'm still very much thinking about the technicals. But I think it's like you're saying, kinesthetic, like it's, you can do so much more. You can learn so much more from doing and learning and iterating quickly. Like, you know, from filming, I can learn so much more from going out there and shooting something bad and figuring out what went wrong and then going back out and getting it right than learning it from a book. And you're gonna feel that so much more because you went out and you spent your time on it and it came back bad and you're mad at yourself and you're gonna actually like, you know, like embody that lesson. And so, especially in the creative world, but in so many different sciences, you have to go out and just like put in the reps and figure out what works and then figure out how to be, you gotta like spend time around other people and go, okay, this person's doing that and this person's doing that, and like how can I become a one of one, like who am I, rather than trying to kind of fit yourself into a mold. There's oftentimes an opportunity to create something for yourself, which is absolutely something that I would, and people in the creative world would recommend, is like if you look around and you feel like someone else has it locked down, then figure out, you know, how you can get away from that and go, okay, what's some part of my voice, my story, what I create that other people can't replicate. And if you can do that, then you've got something that people can like kind of sink their teeth into and connect with.
That's really inspiring to hear because, like, the way I've been living my life is very like I'm hyper fixated on photography and I'm like just jumping and trying to learn. And I think most of my learning has been through failure. It's been you really have to feel that fall in order to acknowledge it and not fall again, or at least not fall and you understand that fall. And it's such a unique atmosphere because, like, I have learned that there is more than a technical photo being a good photo. You can have a photo and have it the creative atmosphere that you can convey and that emotion is more than just the technological advances of the camera or whatever it is. 'Cause like my question to you would be then, does the camera or does the gear matter, or is it more about what you are doing than the camera?
Yeah, it's hard because the camera and the gear matters a lot. But in the same way, they are not like, I'm going to try to make an analogy in a different way. You know, like if you need to get from point A to point B, like, or if someone is paying you, let's make it this way. If someone is paying you to transport them from point A to point B, like being in a 1984 Nissan with a hole in the exhaust, they're not going to be like super happy with what they're paying for. But if you do it like in a new Mercedes, then they're going to be like, yeah, this is a nice ride. So in the same way, yeah, I for some time, you know, was unsure about that. But now, like for the, I don't shoot any type of client work on, like, I have $50,000 of equipment out there minimum, and I'm shooting everything in 8K raw. And yeah, the equipment, especially in the environments that we work in, where I don't have control over light or sound or all these types of things, like I need to capture the highest quality possible, and I want it to be just absolutely astounding, and I want my color on the back end to be absolutely right. So the equipment matters, but the caveat there is a couple things. One, you can go out there, you can prove that you're creative, you can prove that you're a storyteller, you can prove that you have a voice and personality with just your iPhone, or any type of equipment. Like it's not necessary to begin to build a personal brand. And beyond that, you can go out there with a ton of high-end equipment and do nothing creative whatsoever. And so I see a couple of things. One thing that drives me crazy is when I see people who can't grade, and it's obvious they're shooting on red cameras, and then they're not even doing like a color space transformation, and it's just a bunch of log footage. And I'm like, what are they thinking? Or, you know, really huge agencies that come up with concepts, and then you watch a terrible commercial, and you're like, that's not funny at all, or whatever. So, like, you got to remember not to disconnect from exactly what you're saying and the human element and your personality and what you bring to it, regardless of the equipment that you use. So it's hard because there are barriers to entry. And if you want to be in the high end of content creation and the bigger money, you've got to have the equipment. But that's not completely true either, because like, I don't know if you're into it, but I like Whistlin' Diesel, you know, his YouTube. So Mr. Beast has a YouTube account, and it cost them millions to make their videos, and it's all super high production. And then Whistlin' Diesel is this dude who just destroys stuff, and he has almost 10 million followers. He's making a ton of money, and it's all super low production. And so like, there's a million different like ways that you could prove me wrong. There are a ton of very successful like TikTok creators who like have no production value whatsoever. Like it really does come down to like your personality and like creating something that people really want. And in my space, I'm doing it for brands. And so they do want something polished and that looks really nice, but it's also got to be real on top of that. But that's not always the case. So like, there's no, it's all gray, man. Like there's like no point in being dogmatic about it at all. So those are, you know, well, it depends on this or that. So I don't know if I'm answering that question well at all, but yeah, different times and different places for different things.
Because it's really interesting, because you mentioned that, like, I think gear does have an emphasis, but it's not as much of a heavy emphasis when it comes to your vision or the story that you want to tell. Because like, you can shoot with a D3200 and still get just as good photos as you can get with a Z9. Yes, they're going to be different, but the composition should still be there. Like, you know, you can give someone an iPhone camera that's a professional and they could probably take a good photo with it versus, you know, a basic shooter that doesn't know anything about a camera, throwing it in auto mode, and they're going to still be able to get a photo, but it's just a snapshot, not an actual composed image. And, you know, it's really interesting because, like, at my university, you know, I just got done with another podcast, you know. We have these conversations. It takes 4 years for some of these students to graph the exposure triangle. So, like, how do you believe that, you know, you said, you know, like your college degree isn't as much, you know, the emphasis of everything, it's going out and doing. What do you think colleges could do to, reinvigorate that professional? Or do you think it's just inherent? Or do you think it's just within each person? You can't teach that.
No, I think that's a great idea. It's interesting. Every learning environment has its ups and its downs and stuff like that. And it's gonna be, I don't know if you can systematize it so much. And it's not something I've put thought to, so I don't know if I can answer it terribly well, but I've heard of people who had, in the midst of the whole thing, a great professor who totally changed it. And maybe you've had that experience too, where there's one person who just they teach differently and they get you out there or whatever. And so I can think of a couple of high school teachers or whatever it is, and it's going to come down to like a person. And so I think you can't force different teaching styles and different learning styles and all of that. I think colleges are going to have to change to some degree. They're really, really like the entire education system is really, really designed to get you to memorize and regurgitate information, like discussion boards and crap like that.
Oh
But
my
now,
gosh.
with the like advent of AI, and I don't even know how they're handling those things, but like that necessarily has to change now. And so, yeah, I think like in any way possible to get people out there and actually creating, and it makes systematizing and grading it more difficult. And that's why I kind of think the whole model around it is a little bit broken. But yeah, I'm not totally sure. Like it would come down to, yeah, like get people. There's a story I'd like to tell. I think it's anecdotal, but there's a story of a professor who has one half of a class, you probably heard this, like spend all semester trying to make the one perfect image. And he make the other half of the class at like take as many images as possible, and they come back, and the people who did it more like just had they captured these moments because they were there for it. So I would say, regardless of like what the college is doing, I think the student needs to go, yeah, if I want to be a creative, then you're constantly creating, and you're going out and you're pushing yourself to capture moments, because you're going to learn way more real world feedback than you are from theory. And if the theory is there, then that's great, and you're going to go and you're going to get a better grasp of the exposure triangle, or you're going to learn more about the impact of different focal lengths, etc. And you're going to go and you're going to try that tomorrow, but don't learn all that stuff and then go, oh, I'm going to remember that 2 years from now when I'm on set or something. Like, go and apply it, because it's not going to sink in, and you're not really, really, really going to get that whatever it is until you've like seen it happen in action.
It's
And you could force people, like to some degree, the creative has to be inspired to actually go and try it.
really interesting because I remember like I'll be walking around university and like I'll be like, oh, someone will see me, they'll be like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, going to do photos. And they're like, for a project? I said, no. They're like, well, then why are you doing it? And it's still like it's like, almost baffling. Like some of them are freshmen, some of them are sophomore, but it's kind of baffling to me, where it's like, isn't it your job to go outside of the classroom and be a part of and do, I wouldn't be where I'm at in my photography. I'm sure you've seen some of my posts in, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for me going out and doing this outside of the classroom, because I think you get a different environment. You get, it is going to be highly critical and it is going to be the real world, because I think college does build a different, there's a different social structure, hierarchy, even just expectation. Because yes, you're learning, you're a student, but there's all different types of students, because you have students that are just out of high school and you have students that are 26 since coming into college. So you have different skill levels. And you have some that are just going in and they're off of the mindset of, hey, I got to just get a grade, get a grade, get a grade. And for me, it's like, for instance, I'm working on a project where I'm commercially working with a commercial company and I'm making a documentary for them. But with a class, I have a final that I have to do for 3 minutes and I have to interpret montage and stuff. And I was like, you know what, I say two stones with one bird, because if you can kill two stones with one bird, it's a lot cooler than two birds with one stone. But essentially, my goal is I want to do it for the commercial company and kind of do that and play with it, have a little bit more experimentalness with my class while still editing and working on the commercial thing. So to do that, and I'm curious and if it's gonna be possible, because it's different. But I'm like, hey, I'm gonna pitch it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then I'm gonna have to find out my own idea. but I think that's going to work. And like what I've learned a lot about college, or at least myself, is it's less about making the teacher happy and more about making ourselves happy and being like, yeah, this is what I want to say. This is how I'm going to say it. And this is why I'm going to say it. And if you can bat for your own work, then others will most likely bat for you too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. This is not necessarily related, but the same way it is there. I forget the third one, but I know that FedEx and Raising Cane's, both the business models for both were college projects that got failing grades. Their professor said, you did a bad job. This is a terrible business model. And the founders went and said, well, screw you. I like it. And now we have FedEx and Raising Cane's, both of which are like multi-billion dollar. Obviously, FedEx is global, but the founder of Raising Cane's is worth like $10 billion or something like that. And it's, you know, everybody loves it. And so like the challenge with kind of just fulfilling the spec sheet or getting the grade or making your professor is they can be a little bit in an echo chamber and they go, oh, here's how the idea should be because this is how it's worked in the past. And sometimes a real innovator and someone who's thinking in new ways is going to have an idea that they're going to look and go, well, no one's ever done this before. So no, you don't get a good grade. And that just might be your sign that you're onto a good idea. So yeah, sometimes you got to shoot for yourself. And that's the thing about, you know, content, especially when you're in the commercial space. And I'm like, it's awesome that you're doing that because when you create something commercially, you get feedback from the market immediately. Did it work or did it not? Did people buy? Did people resonate? Or if you're writing on the social, if you're a social creator, like, did you get likes or did it not? Like, I'm writing every day. LinkedIn is my thing. And I get feedback every single day on whether my ideas work or not because people just tell me, you know, they don't like it if they don't like it. And so you could sometimes spend years creating stuff where you're just like kind of from a very small, you're getting theoretical feedback. And I love the idea of going out and actually creating commercial work for a project because like your client has to like the idea before you shoot it and then their customers and all that type of stuff. And it actually like has to stand up. It's got to have legs and structure. So yeah, awesome.
it's really empowering because it's like, you know, it's one to make like a little project for school. And I was even talking with the company that I'm working with and I'm like, yeah, I have all these projects for school. And they're like, this is not going to have to, you know, most of these projects are not going to matter. These other commercial companies won't care. They're going to care about what you can make and what you can do for them. Can you make this for them? And it's such a different, literally a table flip for me because it's, you know, we're being taught these little small little congruencies and these small little things that'll work or they don't work or a professor likes them or doesn't like them. And, you know, it's like how much effort, it doesn't matter how much effort we're putting in. It matters that it is a complete project and it's going to stand on its own 2 feet. And it's like, for me, I just did a stop motion animation project where I played with stop motion and it wasn't the best work. I can admit that. And there were some things that were an issue with it, but I was experimenting with shutter speed and I was experimenting with lighting and how that works. And I got my feedback, but, you know, in the classroom, it's such a different kind of feedback than I get with, like, I showed the commercial company that I'm working on and I'm kind of interning with them. And they were very, very helpful to where they were telling me, like, hey, there's no story to this. And I'm like, thank you, because I need to hear that.
Right, right.
And it's, do you believe that, at least this, I mean, I go to Point Park, do you think schools struggle teaching kids how to receive criticism?
Great question. I think it's not the school's responsibility. I think that's the family's responsibility. I'm trying to think back to my own experiences like that.
Yeah, I'm curious on how you, like, when you first jumped into it, how did you start taking criticism? Because, like, I'm learning that don't take it personally, but it's like, you know, if you want to get better, you're going to have to hear it. And I don't know,
because,
like, how did you start receiving it? Was there ever a time in which that you received criticism and it kind of stung a little bit? And how did you go from
that? Yeah, every day. That's a fantastic question. So you're bringing up, like, just a thousand memories of a million creative projects where I've done where it all requires criticism. And then I'm going, you know, that's really, really unique. Like in the creative space, I don't know that anyone has ever like even asked that question in my experience or suggested that teaching creatives how to take, you know, how to take criticism would be valuable. And I think that's a tremendously good idea, maybe even a business idea in itself there, because one of the biggest, you know, one of the really hard things is when you're working with a client or even with a partner or with a boss or whoever it is, you know, my wife is kind of like the creative director and really, really has an eye for quality in our business. And she really likes to be a straight shooter. She doesn't like to do a crap sandwich. She doesn't like the butter up stuff. She just wants to get right to the problem. And I like a little more ego and a little more, well, I like this, but like, that's my preferred way to get criticism. But then, you know, you read about, you know, some of the most creative founders and you read about the Steve Jobs or whatever it is, and they're kind of brutal. And so there is going to be a time where you're working with someone who's really, really has a great brand and really is visionary, and just doesn't have, you know, they give feedback, they shoot straight, and you've got to be able to hold your composure. But you also have got to remember your skill set. So in my case, one of the things that I try to remember when clients have a lot of feedback or revisions or they're asking questions or whatever it is like, they paid me in the first place. I typically do a lot of the concept work for my clients. So they came to me, they asked for help solving a problem. They asked for the concept, I created it, they trusted it, they paid me, we're going through it. And I've got to remember to like stay to some degree in a leadership type of position, a humble leadership type of position. So when you're learning, you're in an intern role, maybe that's a little bit different, unless the idea for the project was yours and you're like, hey, I'm still casting this vision. So I will stop and go, okay, like I hear that feedback. I'm happy to do that feedback. No pushback, you know, whatever it is. But I need to know deeper, like what's the why behind what you're saying here? And what is it you feel is missing or is off or is the problem or whatever? So that we're not just running off making all these changes and losing track of what our initial goal is. And so that's what's really good commercially about creating is like, why am I creating this project? Not just for the class, I'm creating this project because I spent a lot of time with my client and identified one area in their sales process that needs help and one type of customer that we're creating this for. Like what we do is typically very, very specific. And so we're coming back and I'm going, okay, if we're using this in this place for this customer at this level of discovery, whatever it is, then it needs to accomplish this. And so do we feel like it's not connecting? Do we feel like it's not grabbing their attention and it doesn't have a strong hook? Do we feel like it gets boring 15 seconds in and people aren't staying? Like, what are the problems? Do you feel like they're not understanding the one core message that you decided this, whatever that is? So typically, like behind critique and feedback, there's a deeper why for what they'd like to experience. And when you can get to that, then you can create a more collaborative conversation rather than just, you know, getting bossed around. So that's something that I would say is like, I think I wish I could detach from it emotionally, but I do always experience emotions and I'm attached to the version that I've created. It always ends up being better, but I'm like, they don't know what they're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. This is perfect, you know, V1. But then V12 is great, but there's these 12 moments in between where you have the opportunity to build a deeper relationship with this person and understand them better and understand their business or their art or whatever it is better through the revisions and through the feedback, and to become better yourself and to learn to think like someone else and get other perspectives, or where you can just shut down and just do what they're asking for. And I think if you can learn how to cultivate relationships, but also how to challenge in the midst of that, you're going to become like more valuable to the people that you're working with. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, certainly. And my question on top of that is, obviously, there are instances in which that either technical issues or some difficulties. How do you justify pivots? Like, you're going to have to pivot sometimes, but some things, while practical on paper, they're not going to be practical in reality. Because did you face anything with the toilet? I'm curious.
The toilet, yeah, great question. The toilet went really, really well. So
that the joke was kind of self-contained with the toilet. And that was so that was like fun and funny. Technically, we shot it on two different days. And the second day we had, even though it's the same time, we had different cloud cover. So we really thought we were going to have some issues with light. So that was a challenge just on the technical type of a thing. So we're literally like sliding that toilet into further and further into the cave, to get it out of the sunlight. So it's in soft light. But we did all the film on one day and all the photo on another day. So it didn't have to be, you know, like match cut type of stuff. So that ended up working out. And then actually, yeah, in post, the sort of the behind the scenes type of stuff, like actually having on a helicopter, some of that was like a little more funny and exciting than the actual video. So we had to really like our original concept for the script and for the video was a little too long winded, and it was like too much story actually going on, and we needed to just like land the joke immediately and stay there on it. So we had to majorly speed up the pace and cut about half of the script and just get to what the point was in that one. So yeah, there are times sometimes where you get, you know, you're building out a script or a concept or whatever, and you have all these funny ideas and you think they're great. And then you realize, I really only have time to land one of these ideas, and you've got to like let go of them. Or I've got five different, maybe this is what happened to you, I've got five different angles on this, but I lose the story, and you just have to like, you have to trim. So it's almost always in cutting back rather than in adding on, where you find those things. So, but yeah, I don't know if that helps, but yes, there's always some kind of technical challenge. And then almost always, there's something about the script or the concept that's great on paper that doesn't translate in real life. So the two things that you've got to do is shoot more than you expected so that you are prepared to handle that. And I actually learned that because years ago I used to shoot weddings, and I realized like you need like 100 times more B-roll than you think you do to pull this story together. If you have any experience with that, because if you don't, you come back, you're like, goodness, I don't have enough footage for this. It's awful. And then two, be like really aware that something about that is going to change, and be like willing to flex and adapt, but also stay focused on what the core vision was.
So yeah, would you say that the like kind of going back to like the main concern is like communication is far, like the way I've looked at it, it's photography, videography, most of these media worlds are about communicating your idea than it is about making, I mean, it is about making it, but it's about justifying and explaining why your idea and why it matters. Because, I mean, you can be the best damn cinematographer, videographer, photographer ever, but if you can't communicate that, then no one's going to know who you are, let alone what you do.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yes. I would say people don't buy the best product. They buy the most clearly marketed product. And so it's the same thing when it comes to like getting hired and concepting and all of that type of stuff. Like the way that you communicate who you are, how you work, and the results that you produce for your clients, is everything. And then the way that you help them communicate, like it's just kind of this endless line of like of who the end user is for what you create. And so I think that's awesome, because, and I'm rambling on this, I know I'm not answering this as clearly as you asked, but doing the best that I can. Another thing is like when you're practicing, like I think more creatives need to spend time marketing themselves and learning how to make sales and learning how to pitch themselves, because they're going to realize what lands and what doesn't and what people are attracted to and all that. And it will make them better at helping their clients market them. So yeah, like communication is absolutely everything, and it's the key to getting hired. And it's also the key to, you know, creating great work that lands. But I still feel like that's fairly vague. So maybe that sparks another question from you, or you can say, no, that helps.
Well, I mean, I feel that without, not even just communication, because I mean, we can talk about whatever we want, But I feel like when you're efficiently communicating, because like you efficient communication, efficiency is lossless. So in that same regard, I feel like, because like I think, as I'm in the communication department, ironically, it's not the most communicative department. And it's kind of interesting by that matter, because it's like you'd think that people would communicate or teach you, I would say that I'm a decent communicator myself because I've kind of learned the hard way sometimes. And I think we do have to learn the hard way through communicating. And I believe that, being able to justify and communicate and problem solve, you can't solve a problem if you don't talk about it.
Absolutely. No, I think beyond that, just like that comes all the way back to the relationships thing, which is probably the number one thread that I would put through all this through. If you're going to do school, make it about relationships. If you're going to do business, make it about relationships. If you're going to market, if you're going to go to an agency, if you're going to build your own thing, if you're going to be in film, if you're going to be in advertising, whatever it is, it's going to come down to communication, relationships, and ability to work really, really well with people. So I think pushing yourself to develop those skills and to get just great at taking whatever it is that you want to, like taking an idea and putting it into words that people can get around, is kind of what allows people to move worlds.
I 100% agree. And one of the last questions that I ask everyone is, what gets you up? What's your caffeinated beverage of choice, or are you an anti-caffeine maniac?
No, I'm not an anti-caffeine maniac. The one thing that's weird for me is I've learned that if you drink your caffeine like an hour or 90 minutes into your day, that has a little better effect. So I drink yerba mate is my go-to, which is a highly caffeinated tea. I'm not a coffee guy. I don't really love the way that it makes me feel. And then I do like Celsius or Red Bull or something like that. So that's my thing. So I like have it. It's actually I have this like powderized tea that I make a drink with in the morning. It's got 100 milligrams of caffeine, and that's my jam. But my alarm clock is what gets me up. Actually, the joke that some people will say, people, I read this joke one time. Someone's like, "What gets you up in the morning?" And the answer was my bladder.
So
Well,
there's the truth to
but
it.
I just gotta get up and go shit. But now I'm a pretty early riser, so I get up,
And I
work,
wash.
and then I have breakfast with my family and all of that. But yeah, huge caffeine cream.
Oh, that okay. That's not. I've never heard of that kind of tea. That's actually really unique. It's the. Is it? Did you just come across it, or did you just not like coffee and you tried to find something different?
I don't remember. It's been so long. I don't remember how I found it, but yeah, yerba, yerba mate, mate. It's like this highly caffeinated type of tea, and you can buy it in cans. There's all kinds of different ways to do it, but yeah, I just was not. I think maybe I wanted to like, if I'm gonna drink coffee, I like it to be like 50% milk and a bunch of sugar and coffee and all that type of stuff, and I wanted to simplify it without that like huge caloric intake. No, I don't even remember how I found it, but it's good stuff.
Great. And do you have socials? Is there anywhere people can find you? Anything going on? Any events?
No, being in Alaska, not too many events, but social is LinkedIn. Look up Colin Strawn. If you're watching this podcast, you have the spelling of my name. Colin Strawn Alaska, whatever. You can just Google Colin Strawn Alaska and I'll come up. Our business is Every Mile Creative, which you can Google or go to alaskaproductioncompany.com. And then on Instagram, I post a little bit, but my wife has a pretty good following that's more about like our life in Alaska and traveling around, and stuff like that. And it's Kendall Strawn. So I recommend following her if you just want to see our story.
Thank you so much for coming on and taking the time to have a wonderful conversation over not coffee, but tea, or whatever the case you may, whatever the case.
It's great to meet you. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate it. And you can find this podcast at Cafe Connect Pod on Instagram. We're going to have eventually a website up if I can get that up, and every other social media that exists. If I have, I mean, TikTok might be a thing. Outside of that, enjoy your day wherever you are, and keep getting connected with those professionals that you love and we all love. Take care and take it easy.